evening, everyone. It's lovely to be back again. I don't know why David asked me to be back again, but really blessed to be here anyways. So for those who don't know me, I'm Candace Stansbury. My dad is one of the main pastors at the new church plant, New Wine Vineyard. So it's such a blessing to be here this evening. Something about me, I'm a registered dietitian. I work here in Port Elizabeth. That's a little bit about me. So basically, Dave asked me to share my favorite psalm this evening. And to be honest, I think the only psalms I know are like the well-known ones, you know? You know, Psalm 23, Psalm 139, you know, I know those ones. But I think I was a bit challenged to really go and dig a bit deeper and to learn more about the psalms and to find a psalm that really spoke to me. So I found it interesting, though, that the psalm I actually landed on would speak so directly in my life, and specifically looking at this past week even more so. And I must say the Lord truly has a sense of humor. So the psalm I'm going to be focusing on today is Psalm 13. And just by the way, I'd never actually read the psalm before I went and did research. Okay, so I'm not acting like I'm the professional here, but it really did speak to me. So it's what they call a lament psalm by David while he's in despair and really fearing for his life. So I'm just going to read it for you. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good for me. Now in six verses, okay, I only picked six verses because I want to make this short. But in six verses, there's a lot of impact. In these six verses, I feel David is saying what so many of us feel on a day-to-day basis. David is literally pouring his heart out to God in a time in his life where he is clearly struggling, where he's clearly feeling like God has seriously forgotten him. He literally says in verse 1, how long, Lord, how long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? Now, one thing I love about David, he puts his feelings straight out there, raw and open. He's telling Jesus exactly how he feels. He's not trying to be nice. He's not trying to add details or frills. He's real with Jesus. Now, this is a man I can relate to, okay? Because I'm like that. I'm a let's sort this out type of person. Let's talk right now. Let's fix the problem. I can't stand elephants in the room. I hate awkwardness. I hate fake. So it's the worst feeling when you've had like a bad vibe with someone and then you have to have dinner with them, you know, and you have to like, ah, how are you? Cool. You know, and for me, I was like, I don't want to be like that with Jesus. Okay. Now, so I hate awkwardness. I hate pretend. And I think Shane, my poor boyfriend, he knows if we have an argument, there's no way we're taking a day or two to think about this. We're dealing with it right now. We're chatting about it, right? Thank you. Okay. So just how I am with other people, that's how I am with Jesus. And so when I've gone through a really, or if I'm going through a really hard time, I'm going through a tough time, I don't lie to Jesus. I don't come there and be like, all is well with my soul. Lord, all is not well with my soul, and I don't want to be here. Okay, I'm here to do my devotion, but best believe I'm not here because I want to be. And I think as Christians, we find it so hard to actually just be real with Jesus. Like, it's almost like we don't have a right. We don't have a right to tell Jesus how I'm feeling. We don't have a right. And it sounds crazy to be like, Jesus, I'm upset with you, right? Because I think we all know how good he is. But in the moment, we're feeling, yo, where are you right now? So that's how I talk to Jesus when I'm upset. Okay. I tell him straight, I'm not happy. I'm real with him. And I tell him exactly how I'm feeling. And like I said, I think a lot of us feel that we are not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to tell God that we're mad at him or that we're upset. But the funny thing is that Jesus actually wants us to come to him being raw and real and vulnerable. He wants us to wrestle with him. In Acts 13:22, God himself says that David is a man after his own heart. right? And now if you look at the Psalms, a majority of them were written by David. In majority of them, he was open, raw, and vulnerable with Jesus in all the Psalms that he wrote. And in fact, David was probably one of the most vulnerable and open with God out of all the people in the Bible. He was real with God. And I believe that Jesus wants the same for us, to be real with him. Now, if we go back to the Psalm, can you see that David's not only looking for comfort, but he's actually also looking for an explanation. That is why he asked God not once, not twice, but four times, how long, Lord? He's literally crying out to God because he literally feels that God has forgotten him. And this is David. A man after his own heart is feeling, God, you have forgotten me. You know, and I think sometimes we feel that way. We feel that God has not only forgotten about us, but distanced himself from us. You see, it says, you know, if you go back to verse, I think it's verse 1, he says, how long will you hide your face from me? So not only was David feeling like God had forgotten him, he was feeling like God had literally distanced himself from him. Who has ever felt that God has forgotten you? Now I'm going to put my hand up, right? Okay, so who has felt like he hasn't shown up for you, right? You're doing your quiet times, you're going to church, you're doing literally all that you can do with every inch in you, and he's not showing up. Yet, he's showing up for people who are doing not even half of what you're doing, right? Come on, that's frustrating. It's irritating, right? You have to be human about it as well. Okay, you see now I'm losing my place. So, and I think what I want to ask you, have you felt that he's not shown up for you? Have you felt that he's chosen to turn his back? And right now, I don't need you to be the perfect Christian. I need you to be honest with yourself. I don't want you to put your pain and feelings under the carpet, but I truly want you to be honest and ask yourself, have you ever felt that or are you feeling that right now? Because I have. And especially in the last two or so years, you know, at times it's literally broken me. And it's like I have to ask God, okay, I can't do this much longer. Okay, I'm done. I'm really tired. I'm exhausted. I can't keep praying the same prayer again and again and again. I can't keep coming to you in tears because it's not going the way you had promised me it would. Right? And so something that I ask God all the time, and especially in these last 2.5 years, I've said, how much longer must I struggle while others get things handed to them on a silver platter? How long, Lord, must I wait before my heart's desires are fulfilled? How long, Lord, must I go through this? And it's especially hard, like I said, when you look at the lives of everyone else around you. And it's like, man, can you get more perfect? And you're like, I just want a little bit of that. Just a little bit, Lord. I don't even need the whole pot of gold. I just want a sprinkle of it. So now, many people say that me expressing these feelings, like, Lord, you've forgotten me, Lord, where are you, is a lack of faith or a lack of hope. And that's really irritating because actually it's very far from it. Me expressing my hurt, my pain, and frustration is not a sign of a lack of faith. It's me wrestling with God. It is me literally entering the ring, the wrestling ring. Okay, I don't watch wrestling, but I've done my research. Okay, it's a ring. It's me entering the ring with Jesus that I can work through my pain in such a way that God can reveal to me what he's doing in my life. In this season of struggle and torment. Because when we just accept the pain, when we just move on, sweep it under the rug, all is well with my soul, right? As good Christians do. We just sweep it under the rug, and it's cool. It's like you're literally walking away from the ring and accepting it, and you're moving on. But it takes two to wrestle. It takes two people, or one person and Jesus, but you need two people. Now, Jesus is stepping in the ring because this is the beautiful thing. He understands your pain. He knows your feelings. And so that he knows you need to talk about it. You need to wrestle with it. So he's already stepped in the ring, but we choose to walk away. We choose that we're not going to even enter the ring. It takes both you and Jesus to enter the ring in order to work through the pain, hurt, and disappointment, so that Jesus himself can show you, move by move, what he is doing, even if that's simply a change in heart. So that when you leave the ring, and this is the hard part, even when you leave the ring, nothing might have changed in your situation. You might be going back to the exact same situation, but your heart has changed. So you need to say, Lord, this is not okay. You need to enter the ring. You need to say, Lord, you could have intervened, but you didn't. Lord, you are a God of promises, right? Speak the truth. God's given you the truth. He's given you promises. You are a God of promises. So why does it appear that right now, in this moment, you are not a God of promises? In this moment, you're not to me. You need to lay it in the ring. You need to take your gloves off. You know the girls, you need to take your earrings off. You got to step in the ring, and you got to let it out. You can't sweep it under the rug anymore. In the first few verses, David expresses his raw vulnerability to God, crying out to him, because he knows, and I think this is the beautiful part, unless God intervenes, he expects to be defeated. He speaks about an enemy. So he's petrified that he's going to be defeated. Sometimes we also need to cry out to God because we know that unless heaven invades earth, that's what my mom always says, unless heaven invades earth, unless a miracle occurs, unless Jesus himself steps down from heaven and comes to earth, I will be defeated. And this problem I have is not going to go away. So it's going to take a miraculous intervention from Jesus for things to change. You need to cry out to God because you know, Lord, this is it. I have nothing left in me. Lord, there's only so much rejection, so much pain, disappointment, and sorrow I can withstand. So I need you. I need you with every inch of me to do something. Because this can only change with miraculous intervention. Have you ever been in that situation where it's literally like, Lord, mate, it's all up to you at this point. Because I got nothing left. There's nothing left here. This job that I want, it's almost physically impossible for me to get that job. My heart's desire to get married and to have children, that seems so far away right now. My heart's desire to open a business, to be out of financial strain, for my marriage to improve. You know, you get to a point where you're like, Lord, it's all up to you now. There's nothing else I can do. But the question is, maybe you aren't crying out to God in your situation because you have a plan B. Okay. You still have a backup plan just in case he doesn't come through for you. Right? Well, I have like plan E, F, G, H, R. You know what I'm saying? I have all the plans. I'm a type A personality. So I'm not going to just, this is it. I'm not that kind of person. Okay, if that doesn't work, then at least I've got this. And if that, you know what I'm saying? God cannot do something miraculous in your life if you've got 50 plans. There's one plan. There's one. And it's his plan. So the fact of the matter is, if you got plan B, C, D, E, F, G, you need to reevaluate. Because where is your faith? And that's why I was challenged. And so now I'm at a point 2.5 years later. My heart is, all I want to be is I want to work in a job where I'm giving back to the community. Right? That's where my heart is. I studied to be a dietitian for that reason, to work with malnourished children, to work with people who are struggling with TB, HIV, conditions where food is actually something that can give them life. Right? That's what I want. That's what my heart's desire is. But I've been waiting for a job and applying for 2.5 years. Nothing's happening. So now I've literally gotten to a point where there's nothing more that I can do. And that challenged me because I was trying to come up with every other plan on my own. Now, why would you enter the ring? Why would you enter the ring to wrestle with Jesus when you've got it all figured out? Sometimes we need to come to a place of no more plans. To a place where Jesus' way despite the fact that you have no idea which way that is the only way. Now, if you look at how this psalm is written, David starts off expressing his despair and pain. He starts off with how he's feeling, because David too was human. See, the first four verses, he's crying out to God. He's in pain, he's struggling, he's pouring himself out. But then he goes into verse 5 and 6, and it says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Now, this shows us that David's faith did not fail. Though he doesn't understand the why, he trusts Jesus. You see, there is a balance in life when it comes to feelings. Now, this is something that it took me a long time to really understand. So in order for me to kind of express it properly, I did what, proper preachers do, and they go read commentary. So one of the commentary that I read said this: some people ignore feelings and think that feelings should have nothing to do with our relationship with God. This is an extreme viewpoint, because God has given us feelings as an expression of his image in us. We can feel anger, love, care, sorrow, and many other feelings. Feelings are a gift from God and a sign that we are made in his image. But on the other side, some live their lives ruled by feelings. They believe whatever reality their feelings present to them. The problem with this is that we have feelings because we are made in the image of God. But our feelings are affected by our fallenness. We can't trust our feelings because of this. It was all right for David to feel these feelings and good to take them to God, but he should never accept the reality of feelings as real reality. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is David was right to go to God with what he was feeling. He was right to go to God and say, "God, where are you?" Because here's the facts, and I think as Christians, you're allowed to present the facts to Jesus. This is my reality. You could have showed up, but you didn't. Or, "Lord, I'm struggling, and it seems like you don't care. Lord, it seems like my prayers aren't even going anywhere." You're allowed to go to God with your feelings, your fear, your pain, your sorrow, your anguish. But it can't end there, and I think that's where it is. You can take it to him. But if you see in David's psalm, it didn't end at verse 4. It carried on into verse 5 and 6. So, according to Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it says, "Lean not on your own understanding." Now, I didn't really get that, to be honest. Like, I knew what it was. But it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." So, what does that mean, right? It means do not trust every feeling and emotion you have. Though it is real and you need to feel it, you can't base your reality off everything you feel. So you can put things into perspective. I overanalyze, right? So for me, texting is not great, because if someone leaves off an emoji, I'm like, "Oh my word, are they upset with me? Do I need to intervene? Must I call them?" That's how I think, okay? So now my reality is, "Oh gosh, what did I do now?" But that's my feeling. But my feeling cannot be the reality. Okay. So I'm saying is what you're feeling right now, your pain, your anguish, your sorrow, that is your feeling. But it's not necessarily your reality. You can present the facts of how you're feeling, but what is the fact of your reality? So you need to compare, take your feelings, put them in line with truth. Put them in line with Jesus. You need to compare your feelings and opinions to facts. What I mean by that is by God's truth, by God's word. There is truth, and that is what our reality needs to be based off. So in order to bring himself back to reality, David is reminded of the Lord's goodness. Instead of his feelings directing him, he began directing his feelings. He chose to rejoice. And guess what? His situation from verse 1 to verse 5 didn't change. Nothing changed in his environment. He had to make a choice that I'm not going to let my feelings direct me. I am going to direct my feelings. So in that place of sorrow, David chose to rejoice. Not because he stopped feeling what he was feeling, but because he knew that without faith, without hope, he had nothing. He reminded himself, and once again, chosen is the key action here, of God's goodness. He chose to be reminded of his unfailing love that he trusts. He went back to what God had done to direct his feelings to believe that God will do it again. He was reminded of all the blessings in his life and that Jesus had never failed him. So why would he start now? So what I'm saying is, as hard as it is, sometimes you just want to sit in what you're feeling and feel sorry for yourself. It's almost a comfortable place to be because you're almost allowed to feel that way. It's justified. I'm disappointed. It's justified. I'm upset. It's justified. I can't tell you. I don't even want to tell you how many times I cried this week. I was a mess, okay? All I wanted to do was stay in bed. The last thing I wanted to do was come and write a sermon on having faith. Okay, that's why I said the Lord's got a sense of humor. But I'm saying is, there was something in me that God said, Candace, you have to choose me. You still have to choose me. Even no matter what you're feeling, I think sometimes we allow our feelings to direct everything else. But it has to be us that directs our feelings. Because our feelings are going to let us down. We have to base our reality on our truth. So I urge you today to follow the flow of Psalm 13. I want you to pour out your heart to Jesus. I want you to be real, be open. I don't want you to sweep things under the carpet anymore. As Christians, we need to own our pain, okay? We need to own our brokenness so that Jesus can use that as an entry point into the ring so that he can work through us to bring clarity and to bring peace. The hard part is this, though. We might leave the match, like I said, and nothing has changed. Your situation hasn't changed. You've wrestled with God and you still come back to no job. You still come back to a marriage that is struggling. You're still coming back to pain that you can't experience, that you can't even describe. But something that I've learned is that God's going to do two things, one of two things. He's either going to change your situation, which, yes, please, or he's going to change your heart. That's how you're going to bring about a change in you. So, situation or my heart, but either way, he's going to bring change. Now, I want you to come to a point of acceptance that even if you leave the ring and nothing has changed, believe that he's still going to bring change in you. Once you have owned your brokenness, felt what you needed to feel, and given it to Jesus, you can't just leave it there. You can't just wallow in what you're feeling. You can't let your feelings direct you into believing that this is now my new reality, that Jesus doesn't love me, that he doesn't care about me, that he has not shown up for me, but he's showing up for my friend over there, who, by the way, doesn't even go to church, who, by the way, isn't doing their choir times. You can be real with him, right? But you need to go back and still make a choice to rejoice. Choose praise. Choose to go back and look at all God has done for you. Through choosing to rejoice, you will somehow find a strength to carry on. And that is Jesus. Because he's reminding you that, look what I've done. Look what I've done. And you trusted me then. And I got you through. So why now will I not do something now? Now, my life in the last few years has been filled with a lot of disappointment, a lot of pain, and a lot of unanswered questions. And it's been hard and painful to pitch up every day and praise Jesus. But I know that one day I too will have my heart's desire. I too will have a season of stability where I can have the job, where I can have the impact I want to have, where I'll get married and be a mom. Those are my heart's desires. And one day, I believe, because my God is faithful, it will happen. But until then, I will praise him for what he has done, because there is so much in my life to be grateful for. and I'm going to praise him for what he's still going to do. My God is a God of impossible. My God is a God of miracles. And I want to end today by speaking a chorus of one of my new favorite songs over you. So what I want you to do, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to really think in your heart about where you're at right now. What struggles are you facing? What desires do you have? Are you mad at God? Are you angry? What feelings are you feeling? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Today I pray for your healing. I pray that circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray for your breakthrough. I pray that whatever fear and anxiety you're facing, I pray for whatever pain you are going through. I pray that Jesus will meet you where you are. I believe in a God of miracles. But my faith cannot be dependent on just what I'm feeling. Just because I'm feeling sad or because I'm feeling down doesn't mean that he's no longer a God of impossible. And so, Lord, I pray today, I pray, Lord, that you will just meet each one of us in our needs that we have and remind us that you are still good. You are still working. Help us to find the strength to get up every day to still praise your name, even though we don't want to. Lord, you want us to be real with you. And Lord, I ask that you will give us the strength and courage to be real with you. But I also pray for a miracle in each one of our lives. Because sometimes you just need that little treasure, that little bit of glimpse of hope to keep you going. And so I pray, Jesus, that you'll give each one of us that glimpse of hope this week, a little treasure to keep us going. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.